Blog Talk Radio. de la mansion de la majesté. You move mountains. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall. You cause walls to fall. You cause walls to fall. Hey, you cause walls to fall. And you cause chains to break. Hey, you cause chains to break. Hey, you cause chains, hey, to break. Hey, you cause, and I'm not sure. Hey, and giant fall. Hey, giant fall. Giant fall. Giant fall. Could you move mountains?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God praise on tonight. This is God's day that he has made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. Hallelujah. We thank God for you on tonight. We thank God for those that will tune in, those that will listen to the recording. Amen. On our Word Wednesday. Hallelujah. We thank God for his word. The word has changed my life tremendously. Glory be to God. We said on Sunday how for many of us, he has washed us with the word. He says that, I believe it's in around John chapter 15. He says we are already washed with the word of God. We are already washed with the word of God. So continue for God to allow God to cleanse you and to sanctify you and to consecrate you and to make you. Amen. Continue to make you and I into his image in the name of Jesus. Let us pray before we go into the word of God tonight. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for Word Wednesday. Every listener, bless them indeed. Give their territory, God, extra room because we know you are about to bless them in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord, that you would give them the capacity and the quality and the equipping that they need to sustain the blessing. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that the enemy, the devil, you have bound him up already, that he can't take what you have for your people. What belongs to the people of God belongs to the people of God, and can't nobody do nothing about it in Jesus' name. So, Lord, bless this lesson tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get excited about the word of God. Tonight, I just want to continue on what we started on Sunday as the Lord allowed me to preach a word entitled, This Battle Is Not Mine. This battle is not mine. And I realized that we're in a fight, beloved. We are in the last and evil days, and it looked like we're clawing and scratching and struggling for everything that God has for us. But that's all right, because God is with you. And if God be for you, nothing and no one can stop you. So we learn from, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul tonight, some of his warfare. But God showed me this and showed me this plainly, that it's so important for us to know the voice of God. It is so vital for you and I to know and continue to know the voice of Almighty God. I'll never forget, as a new believer, I shared this story before, but as I was a new believer, getting familiar with the things of God, I was in a place that I was going through a lot of my adult life. And the voice of God spoke to me in that atmosphere with the music and the drinking and the smoking. And the voice of God spoke to me and said, "You no longer belong in here. Leave. Get out." And it was amazing how I knew the voice of God. Not only I knew the voice of God, I listened to the voice of God. Amen. So it is key, but I'm under the belief that some of us are not yet familiar with the voice of God like we should be. But let's look at very quickly three examples of how God spoke to his servants, because when God wants to give you an instruction, first you must know his voice. Because how many of us know the devil is speaking also? Amen. The devil is talking also. God has given him a limited amount of power and ability. He is called the prince of this air. And we know he has demons on assignment. We know that he can operate through thoughts. The Bible says he can even disguise himself as a spirit of light. So he is very cunning. He is very deceptive. Amen. And glory be to God. I always want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to slow down tonight. I'm going to slow down tonight because I got excited even when I said that God has given you and I a spiritual gift to show us, amen, what the enemy is up to. But go to Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 1 first, and then we're going to look at Acts chapter number 9, and then very quickly, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You can write those down, Exodus 3, 1 Samuel 3, and Acts 9. I just want to see three examples. I'm going to read quickly because I just want us to see the contrast and how the different men heard from God and how he spoke to them. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, Moses' first encounter hearing the voice of God. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the burning bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Draw not near, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." For he was afraid to look upon God. So Moses' encounter with God, hearing the voice of God for the first time, out of the midst of a burning bush, God called him by his name twice, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." Moses had a supernatural encounter with God. Chances are, you and I will not have this burning bush experience or encounter, how he was introduced to the voice of Almighty God. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was doing a work, so he thought, for the Lord. We see God speaking to Moses out of the midst of a burning bush. He got familiar with the voice of God because God called him, and we know that Moses became great and did great signs and wonders for the kingdom of Almighty God, as God gave him that first instruction: take off your shoes, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I am that I am is sending you. Now the Apostle Paul, his name is Saul at the time. He's not yet converted to Paul. He doesn't know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter number 9, let's see how Paul the Apostle Paul, Saul, got introduced to the voice of Almighty God. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. And he desired letters to go into Damascus into the synagogues, that if he found any in the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them into bonds and lock them up in Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Verse number 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, again using the name twice, Moses, Moses, now is Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished at the Lord, What will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. He's giving instruction to him now that Saul know the voice of Jesus. And the men which were journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They too heard the voice of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Saul is knocked off of his beast. He's blinded by Jesus. He has scales on his eyes. They got to lead him into a street called Straight. He's about to go to Ananias, who's going to prophesy to him, lay hands on him. He's about to become a wonderful vessel for God. But first he had to know the voice of Jesus. He said, Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, It's hard to fight against me, dude. Ha! That's my vernacular. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Saul was persecuting Christians. Saul had consented to Stephen's death. Saul was ready to go into the synagogues in Damascus and lock up more believers. He thought he was doing the right thing until he knew the right real voice of Almighty God. You and I will be off course if we don't get familiar with the voice of God. Jesus said, My sheep know my voice, and they will not follow another. So once we hear the voice of God, then we begin to get victory in our lives. Because I always say that without no conviction, there can be no change. But you can't get convicted if you can't hear him. Amen, somebody. You got to know his voice. He's the one that will correct you. He's the one that will chastise you. He's the one that will discipline you. Christ Lord is the one that will speak to you and show you a more excellent way. But as I said with Moses, chances are that wasn't how we got introduced to the voice of God, the burning bush. Nor were we knocked off of our beast, blinded, and then getting hands laid on us, telling us we're going to be a vessel for the Lord. I think most of us can relate to my next example, looking at Samuel chapter number 3. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. We understand that Samuel was a miracle baby. His mother Hannah was barren, and Peninnah, her adversary, Elkanah, other wife, tormented Hannah and moved her to tears. And she went into the priest with Eli. He thought she was drunk, but she just wanted to have a baby. And she prayed so fervently that her lips were moving and yet no words were coming out. But Eli prophesied to her and said, You will be blessed by the Lord. He will open your womb. And you're not going to just have Samuel, but you're going to have more children. And that prophecy came to pass. Amen. But she said, If you give me a man child, if you give me a baby boy, I will give him to you all the days of his life. And she kept her word. She weaned him. She nursed him. so he can adequately, amen, be strong on his own. But now Samuel, as a young lad, as a young boy, is in the house of the Lord with Eli mentoring him, Eli training him up. Eli know the voice of God. Eli was a priest. He know and he knew God's voice. Now let's look at, many of us may have gotten familiar with the voice of God in a similar way that Samuel got familiar with the voice of God. I pray this is helping somebody. Like God, you know, sometimes I'm hearing voices in my head. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's the devil, or I don't know if it's God. And God will give you a distinction of his voice. This is how we stay in the will of God. This is how we don't listen to the devil. This is how we don't let even the voice of this world. We always talk about children facing peer pressure and children and young people dealing with peer pressure. But many of us adults, they call it keeping up with the Joneses. They call it, you know, saving face. They call it politically correct. They call it tolerance. Whatever you label you want to put on it, there's another voice always speaking. Karabo Oshata. But let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Eli is going to sleep. Samuel is going to sleep. That the Lord called unto Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and laid down again. And the Lord yet called again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lay down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called again to Samuel the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You did call me." And Eli perceived, glory be to God, I feel God. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lay down, and it shall be, if he call you again, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears you.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place again, and the Lord stood and called as other times. Here it is, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears you." Remember Moses, Moses? Remember Saul, Saul? Now we have Samuel, Samuel. That's God wanting to get our attention. He calls us by our name. And he will repeat himself if he has to. Because if you're anything like me, I didn't listen the first time. I know I got an amen somewhere in the Word Wednesday tonight. Some of us didn't listen the first time, the fifth time. Come on, somebody, give me an amen. Say amen to that. Some of us still struggling with listening to God, but we are here tonight because we know once we start listening to that voice, we begin to get victory in our lives. So allow the voice of God. Get familiar with God's voice. and God will allow you to win in so many areas of life. Pastor Rebecca, my wife, talked about the fasting earlier, and she said how the tempter, the devil, the deceiver, came to Jesus. The deceiver, the tempter, the accuser, came to Jesus. And when the devil comes, you and I have been given a spiritual gift called discernment. There are far many believers, and there are too many believers that do not activate and use this spiritual gift from God Almighty through the power of the Holy Spirit called discernment. Discernment is simply the ability to make good decisions and to choose wisely. Write that down. Discernment, or discerning, the ability to make good decisions and to choose wisely. And number two, discernment gives you and I the ability to detect deception. Discernment, the spirit of discernment, which we have, you don't have to achieve it, you don't have to ask for it. As a believer, it's part of your benefit package. You have discernment. It detects deception. In other words, you can see and you know a liar. There's something on the inside of you that is triggered. You have a discernment. You know phony and fake people a mile away. Now you can ignore the voice. That's why I said we got to know the voice of God. You can sometimes turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to it, but we cannot deny the fact that we have this spiritual gift called discernment, the ability to make good decisions and the ability to detect deception. But we know the voice of the devil. We know, because those of us that came from the world into the church, such as myself, I was going by the devil's voice. I was listening to the devil. The devil had me, and he was leading me. He was mastering me. He was guiding me. He was my God. And that's why I said, the devil of this world had blinded the minds of them. And then there's another text, I believe is in Proverbs. It says, the devil of this world had blinded the hearts of the people. So if your heart is blind and your mind is blind, guess what? We can't see what God wants to give us and what God wants to do through us. So use your spirit of discernment. Don't let people keep lying to you, and you saving face, and you're still in association with them, or you're still involved with them, and you know they're lying. And God is like, no, I've given you this ability, I've given you this gift, so that you can be free and free indeed. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's look at this. The Apostle Paul, look at Acts chapter number 20. Because again, we're talking tonight about this battle is not mine. This battle is not mine. We preached that on Sunday. This battle is not mine. Because Moses was about to battle with Pharaoh. And as God gave Moses instruction on how to activate and implement the 10 plagues, with the final plague being the death of the firstborn in Egypt, Moses had to know the voice of God. And each plague, Moses had specific instruction, and he told Aaron, his brother, what God was saying. So Moses knew the voice of God. And finally, Pharaoh let the people of God go. God will give you, father, instruction on how to father your children, how to be the priest, provider, and protector of your family. husband, father, men of God, we are called to be the priest, provider, and protector of our families. You know, I grew up without a father. So being a father, it means a great deal to me as a father. I thank God that he has allowed me the ability to have children. But my father, growing up, my father left, my mother and father split up when I was about 5 years of age. So I don't recall seeing him much. But as I became a teenager, he had suffered his third stroke at the time. He was in a VA hospital because he was an Army veteran. And he was on his last days, his last years. And my mother used to make the three youngest children go and see him in the old soldier's home. And that's my memory of my dad, not throwing a football, baseball, basketball, showing me how to fix sinks and faucets and flat tires. I didn't have that growing up. So it means a lot to me as a father to try to raise my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Pastor Rebecca and I, when Kayla was in the womb, my two boys, Marcus and Justin, our two sons, they were brought up in church. We said that on Sunday. It said in Isaiah 54, you shall teach your children the things of God. And then, see, we think we just go right to the scripture that says, great shall be the peace of your children. The first part of that scripture says, train them up in the things of God. Teach them the things of God. Bring them to church. Then they will have the peace of God. And our children, you know, up until their teenage years, they didn't have a choice in the matter. I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church. The devil is a liar. You're going to church. Just like you go to school, church was a mandatory thing in the Simmons household. I don't see how parents give their children a choice. I don't see how parents allow young children to have so much mouth. My mother, oh God, my mother would, oh God. When I was growing up, we had to find a children's place. We had to find, my mother would not allow us to be around adults or in adult space. We just did not do that as children. I know it's a different day, but I'm 54 years old. I'm just telling you about my childhood. There were just certain things that we just could not do growing up. And I thank God for that training, because as far as manners and respect and understanding of certain things, it taught me well how to reverence and have a spirit of humility. My mother would call it manners. Now we just call it respect. But no matter what title you put on it, we see a loss in our generation today of manners and respect for, you know, so many areas. But Acts chapter number 20, we saw it in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul hearing the voice of God, and God used him as a great vessel. Paul is now in Acts 20. Looking at verse number 20, Acts 20, verse 20. Paul has started some churches. Paul has, before he's in prison, before he's writing some to the churches from the prison cell, before he's planting some more churches, Paul right here is dealing with the elders, the Jewish elders that transfer from Judaism to the things of God. And he says in Acts chapter number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He went into the synagogues and he went house to house teaching them about Jesus. Remember, Paul went up to the third heaven. There were certain things he could not even utter. Remember the Damascus Road experience. Paul had great wisdom. Not only that, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had an impressive resume. And we have so many people in our day who want to step into ministry, who want to step into pastoring, who want to do so many things that they're not quite ready for. It takes training. It takes mentoring. It takes time. It takes learning. And Paul, this is why he can go to King Festus and talk and look him into the eye and get respect from the king. This is why he can almost convert King Agrippa to becoming a believer and a convert. Because Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had money. He had education. He had power and influence. Remember, he was going to the leaders of the prison system in that day to get permission to lock up more people. So Paul knew the penal system. Paul was even so bold as to travel to Rome to meet Caesar. He had the qualifications. He had the pedigree. He had the level of education. He had the history and the background. And that's why God used him so mightily. We have so many people in our day, especially this younger generation, they haven't been through anything. How you going to show me something? I'm not going to go there, but go when you get off the line tonight or later in your week as we fast and pray. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. He said a novice is not supposed to acquire the office of a deacon or a bishop. A novice, someone who hasn't had much worldly experience. Because he goes on to say, how can you run the house of God well when you can't even run your own house well? And we see sometimes, you know, marriages and children just acting so off the cuff. And God is saying, no, let's get our houses in order before we try to run God's house. Let's not be a novice. Let's go through some things and get victory in some areas. Let's get to the place where we have some experience and some testimonies of the power of God. And then we can lead. Then we can help people. You know, some people don't like that scripture that says, I think it's over in Matthew and Mark, how can you pull this little piece of dust out of my eye when you got this boulder, this plank, this big beam in your eye? First, he says, pull a beam and a boulder and a wood out of your eye, and then you can help your brother and sister. What he was saying, he wasn't being mean or vindictive, but he was saying some of us, before we can help other people, God wants us to work on us. The word says, work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. I got to the place when I came to the things of God, I was a wreck. I wasn't on my mother's floor because I was a choir boy. Amen, somebody. I made a lot of bad decisions and a lot of bad choices. And God spared me because he saw me doing this one day. And God is giving you grace. Maybe God has given you room where you made mistakes, and God has given you second chances to get it right. But in the book of Acts right here, looking at verse 21 now, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me. Paul is going to Jerusalem, but he know the voice of God, because look at verse number 23. Say that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying, the bonds and the affliction that abides me. In other words, when he gets to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit already warned him, you're going to be thrown in prison and you're going to be afflicted. And he still was willing to go. Paul knew the voice of God, and he knew that in Jerusalem, when he get to Rome, it's going to be trouble. But he still knew he had a mandate from God. And it's God before you, people of God. Hallelujah. You're going to get a well done once you close your eyes on this side of glory. So God wants us to raise our families in the things of God. God wants us to be the watchmen and the watchwoman standing on the wall over our families. God wants us to pray in the morning and pray at night and pray at midday. This is how this battle is not mine, it belongs to God, but we have to do our part to involve God. I didn't elaborate on Sunday when I went to Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13, where he's going to fight the first battle of Jericho. Joshua is a warrior. Joshua is used to winning battles. We see at the end of Joshua, he defeated 32 kingdoms with the sword and with his army. But the first battle of Jericho, I feel God right here. The Lord said, I'm going to send my angel. The angel drew out his sword, and he said, take off your shoes, because this battle is not yours. It is mine. It is the Lord. I don't know who that's for. But he goes to Jericho, and God said, Joshua, you tell the people to put up their swords for this fight right here. All I need y'all to do is march around this wall for 6 days and not say a word. Glory be to God. But on the seventh day, Jericho, the wall is thick. It's impossible to penetrate. But on the seventh day, when you walk around Jericho, you walk around the wall, I need y'all to give me a praise. I need for y'all to give me a shout. I need for somebody to say hallelujah. I feel God right here. And the wall will come tumbling down. You don't have to fight this fight in the natural strength. I don't know who that's for right there. But some of us, glory be to God, we're so used to pulling ourselves up out of trouble. We're so used to getting ourselves out of dilemmas and situations. We're so used to, in the name of Jesus, to making a way where there is no way. And God is saying to you, I'm trying to prove myself to you who I am in your life. This battle is not yours. It belonged to me. Stop fighting people in the natural. Oh, we said it on Sunday. Stop trying to do things in your own strength. Oh, I'm preaching to myself right now. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. I know those children look like they're not getting through. You know, I'm praying for them. You know, I believe God that they will turn it around. And it looks like they're getting worse instead of better. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Yes, you're in a lot of debt. Yes, you need a job. Yes, you need God to open a door that no man can shut. But believe me, when God said this battle is not yours, it belonged to the Lord. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Maybe, hallelujah, maybe you like Job. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I put my trust in him. So God will restore a job to you. God will give you another home. God will give you another good godly marriage. God will give you a second opportunity at a wonderful career. God will allow you an opportunity to go back and finish that college degree. God will allow you to relocate and to do what you need to do. He already went ahead of you. Glory be to God. Before you get on the interview, God has already given you favor. Before you apply for the housing, God has already gone ahead of you to make a way where there is no way. Before you opening up your mouth, God has already won that battle for you. So continue to give your children and your grandchildren over to God. Continue to cast your cares. Oh, my God. Yes, God, I hear you. God told me to go to that scripture. He said, don't quote it, go to it. But let me stay here for a minute in Acts chapter number 22, and then we're going to 1 Peter chapter 5, because I know the voice of God, and he said somebody needs to read that and see that tonight. Glory be to God, that we need to cast our cares upon God. Let me finish up here in Acts chapter number 21st. And now I'm in verse number 25. Verse 24, I'm going to read this real quickly. But none of these things move me. Paul said, but none of these things move me. I told you he was going to be in prison. He was going to be afflicted. He was going to be beaten. Now, he's a Pharisee. He's a powerful man in Rome. And he's about to be mistreated And he says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul said, y'all won't see me again. I'm going to skip down to verse number 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, they're going to be right in the building, right in the church, right among your own numbers, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. He said, right from among you, some people going to rise up and cause division. Verse 31, therefore, Paul is warning them, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every night and every day. Verse number 35, and we're going to go over to 1 Peter. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul said, I'm about to go on this journey, and I will not be returning. But beware, because people are going to rise up from your number and cause division. This is why you got to know the voice of God. There's some people that are friends or former friends, or there's some people that maybe you and I are in association with, and God is saying, glory be to God, just watch and pray. Watch and pray. He said, in that day there will be wolves in sheep clothing, and we are in that day. So that's why I said that spirit of discernment that I talked about earlier, we have to activate that gift, and we have to practice it. Because he's a great deceiver, talking about the devil, and he's working through people, and he will continue to work through people. But once we discern, amen, we can know the better way and the best way to take. But go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Even as I was quoting it, God said turn there. This is not in my notes at all, but I just love obeying God and the voice of God. This battle is not mine. But he wants us to look here in 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, where should I start? As I'm looking at it, I see why he wants us to go here. 1 Peter chapter number 5, let's look at verse number 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder, this is Peter speaking and writing, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that was revealed. He's talking to shepherds. He's talking to pastors. He's talking to overseers and elders. Verse number 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He says, don't pastor because of money. Don't pastor because you're going to think it's going to get you rich. Don't start a church because you think it's a money-making scheme. Don't do it for filthy lucre. Do it willingly. Don't do it out of constraint, but have a purposeful heart to go forward and help my sheep. Verse number 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Pastor Rebecca and I, we pray that our marriage is an example to those who are married and those want to be married. We pray in the name of Jesus, as we've been in this thing for over 2 decades, baptized, born again, Holy Ghost filled believers. We want our lives to be an example, not by what we say, but what you see in our lives. Coming to church on Sunday, I tell you, I'm not bragging or boasting, it's only by the grace of God, but since being a Christian, I have not missed a lot of Sundays in church. That's before becoming a pastor, that's before getting into ministry. I just saw a need. I radically changed my entire lifestyle because I was a partier. I was that person that they called a clubber. And we went out on Saturday night, and the club did not close till 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And sometimes me and my boys would find a after hour. That means another party starting at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. And you used to sleep on Sunday and then watch football. Come on, somebody. But now God is saying, be an example. Be a godly example. All of us need mentors. All of us need examples. All of us need people to come alongside. This is why we need shepherds. We need people that will help us and guide us and exegete the scripture. We need teachers. That's why they call Jesus Rabbi, which is interpreted teacher. They needed to be taught. It is not showing that you're inadequate. It doesn't show that you're ignorant or naive. But there's some things that we got to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth. Verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd, that means Jesus, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here's some instruction. I think this is what God wanted us to see tonight. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the older. Yes, all you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you got children, they should want to learn from you. I'll never forget growing up, as I said, my dad wasn't there, but my mother shared a lot with me about her childhood. She grew up in the Jim Crow era in Charleston, South Carolina, went all the way up to the 8th grade, but she told me about the serious racism that she grew up in, the Jim Crow era. She talked about the prejudice and the bigotry. And I got a glimpse of her day. But she also told me about the importance of education, the importance of working hard, the importance of not making excuses, but getting it done. So I took that into adulthood. I've been working since I've been age 13. I don't see how men don't work. I just can't wrap my mind around that. You know, I'm going to let my lady take care of me. I'm going to let women take care of me. I'm going to live off of women. The devil is a liar. I just did not grow up like that. My mother had 5 boys, and we all worked, all of us. Michael worked at General Motors. Lewis worked at Public Service Electric and Gas. My brother Larry went into the Air Force, but before that, he did all kinds of work. Another brother worked at Rutgers University. I mean, we worked. It's what we knew. It's how my mom raised us. And we didn't have that father in the home, but our mom worked. So I don't know where this generation of men have come from. Not all men are like this, but I see this trend in our day where, you know, men hanging around the welfare office, or men living in the house of the wife or the woman, and not holding up their part. I just did not grow up like that. Verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Here it is, and this is what I was quoting, verse number 7. casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And this is what we've been talking about all night, knowing the voice of God and having discernment. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say the devil want to make your life hard. It says he wants to devour you and I. He wants to destroy us. But can I get a praise on the Word Wednesday tonight? No weapon formed against you can and will prosper. There is a supernatural hedge of protection around you. Until we meet Jesus face to face, we're not going to know the magnitude of what he spared us from. We're not going to be able to wrap our minds around how many times he rescued us from what the enemy wanted to do to us. Oh, glory be to God. There was a mugger, there was a robber that sometimes had us in their sight. But God sent the angel disguised as three burly big men. And before they could act upon us, they said, oh, no, I'm going the other way. But they were angels, hallelujah, unaware. Glory be to God. Y'all don't hear me on tonight. I just believe in a supernatural like that. I believe that God can do anything he wants to do. God is the one that keeps us from motor vehicle accidents. God is the one that spares us, hallelujah, from great loss that we can't recover from. God is the one that got me out of that cancer situation. Glory be to God. God is the one that mended some of our marriages back together. Glory be to God. God is the one that continues to bless us and cover us and keep us. I can't get to the other part of the lesson tonight, but we will pick it up again next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. This battle is not ours. It belongs to you. God, help us to use our spirit of discernment that we can detect deception, phony and fake people and liars and walk away from it or do something about it, keeping our guard up. We have discernment, and you don't want us to turn a deaf ear to it or a deaf eye to it or a blind eye to it. The ability to make good decisions, we have discernment. Help us to use it. And God, help us not to try to continue to do things in our own strength, with our own might, with our own level of education. You want us to experience and to encounter the supernatural God. So God, we give you permission right now to do an invisible work that only you can do that will bless us in the natural. So God, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go to our website, nccmonline.org, and give us a donation, give us an offering. Amen. We thank God for your offering in advance. We are doing ministry in the city of Hillside, New Jersey, and we thank God for every dollar, every 10, every 50. Maybe you want to sow whatever amount. Trust me, Pastor Rebecca and I really appreciate it. The New Creation Christian Ministries Church family appreciate every seed sown that we can continue to keep the doors of New Creation open and continuing to do the work of the Lord. Join us this Sunday. We've been having a high time all year long at New Creation Church. It's just been a phenomenal year at our ministry. Every Sunday there's a great word. I would not start my week off without going to church and hearing a word from God. There are so many people that start their week off so many different ways. You know, the NBA All-Star game is baseball season coming up, and I hear all this chat at work. And I start my week with the word, I start my week with the worship. I start my week with the praise, and it gives me a wonderful tone and a wonderful momentum as I go throughout Monday through Saturday. So God gives me 52 Sundays in every year, and I don't want to miss one of them. So I pray I see you on Sunday at New Creation Church if you're in the New Jersey area, and there's going to be a word from the Lord for you. So God bless you. Amen. As we leave this place and never leave his presence, love you. God bless you. Good night, everyone.